listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning. Welcome to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio 950 AM. The time is exactly 9 o'clock on this Friday morning in Chicago. And co-hosting this morning, Graziano Marcheschi. Give me a little card here. The Director of Ministerial Resource Development for the Archdiocese of Chicago. Graz, I will get your new title down.
Do you have a card
eventually
with your mother's name on it?
Pull out, say, hi, Mom.
Hi, Mom. That's
make,
right.
Make Mom wear a name tag. I don't think, Jim, we can get Graz's headphone set is working. Our producer, Jim Dish, is now walking to the studio. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Jim.
Good to have you. Graz, tell us about your Lenten commentaries coming up on the USCCB website for the Lenten season.
Well, it was a great privilege to have the opportunity to write commentaries on the seven penitential psalms and the four songs of the suffering servant. The seven penitential psalms are lament psalms taken from the book of Psalms out of the 150 that have traditionally been used as a Lenten devotion. It's a way of entering into the spirit of Lent and a way of participating in Christ's own passion through reflection on those psalms. So they aren't posted on the website yet, but they will be soon. So folks want to take a look.
I know Ash Wednesday is, of course, Wednesday, March 9th. So it'll be around that time?
Yes.
So that'll be a week from Wednesday. So we have a great program lined up. Our phone number, 312-255-8408, 312-255-8408. You're on Catholic Community Faith and Relevant Radio, 950 AM. And now our guest headphone sets aren't working, and Graz's, mine are, so we can just
That's all right, as long as the microphones are working, we're good.
As long as the microphones are working. We have this in studio, Father Thomas Loya. We'll be doing a Lenten mission at Holy Name Cathedral Monday through Wednesday evenings, March 14th, 15th, and 16th. And Father Loya is in studio to talk about Lent and its overwhelming significance in the Catholic Church. Father Tom Loya, welcome to Catholic Community Faith.
Thank you, Father. It's great to be here.
Great to have you with us, Tom. And we have this mission coming. First of all, you were ordained in 1982.
Yes. Uh-huh.
You're very well known, not only in the Archdiocese of Chicago and beyond, as a mission speaker.
Theology of the body speaker.
Theology of the body speaker, and just, you know, very well known. So this is the first time I've had a chance to meet you in person.
Audio tapes, publications.
Yeah, for
many. Man of many talents.
And so the thing is, but now tell us a little bit about this Lenten mission coming up at Holy Name Cathedral the first week of Lent.
It'll start at 6:30 in the evening with a prayer service, a brief prayer service called the Prayer of St. Andrew of Crete. And this is coming from my own particular tradition. I'm a Byzantine Catholic priest, one of the priests of the Eastern Lung of the Church, as John Paul II would call it. And the theme of this mission is bright sadness, the bright sadness of Lent.
That's a very interesting term, bright sadness. Say more about that.
Seems kind of complimentary or contradictory, but actually the reason it's called bright sadness because we have, of course, the sadness of Lent in that we take a long, real look at our sinfulness. In other words, Lent is a time in which we sort of call ourselves back to that original exile that Adam and Eve had when they were expelled from paradise, you know, after original sin. And that sense of exile that we all have, that we're just not where we should be. And no matter who we are, even the great saints would say that, we're not where we should be in relation to God. You know, we're continually striving. And so we look at that in a very, very real way, and we try to do something about that during Lent. So that's sort of the sadness, in a sense. You know, we meditate and focus on our, you know, the reality of our sinfulness. You know, we don't soft-pedal it. Really, we look at it, and we go into the ascetical disciplines in a deep sense of, you know, penthos, you know, of remorse and repentance. But in doing so, it brings us into a joy or brightness of being transformed more and more into our true selves, our better selves, you know, our holy selves. And so you have, in the process of looking at the dark side of us and doing something about it, there's this sort of like, almost like a rising sun that happens in the process. And so that's the brightness. So that we come to Easter then, we truly rise up as resurrected people, having gone through this.
From death to life.
From death to life,
yeah. It's kind of like what we say at the Easter Vigil when we sing the Exultet. Oh, happy fault, oh, necessary
yes,
sin of
exactly.
Adam. It's a happy fault. I mean,
right.
Obviously, nobody's glad that right. Original sin came into the world. But on the other hand, the positive side of it is it also brought the incarnation.
Right. And yeah, exactly. The happiness is that this redemptive event, this redemption of Christ, comes into this darkness. You know, like John Paul II called it, you know, in his theology about it, he called it the historical man. Or there's a period that we know since sin. And we know this period well. We're in the period of, you know, whether we have realities of death and sin and things related to that. But amidst that comes Christ to redeem that, to take that and not let the negative, you know, the darkness of it be the last word.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's like a happy fault.
At the same
sense.
Time, you know, God does not need Lent. We do.
Right.
And the reason we have the Lenten period for 40 days is anything that we do worthwhile takes time.
Yes.
You want to lose weight. It takes time.
Right.
Become a better human being takes time. Nothing well done happens overnight. In fact, the best definition of conversion, we talk about, you know, St. Paul and the horse, and that's marvelous and terrific. But conversion
no horse.
To me, yeah, but conversion to me is the conversion is not the miracle of the moment. It's a task of a lifetime.
Right.
Best definition of conversion I ever heard. It's an ongoing process, and we are not the same people or individual this Lent as we were a year ago or
exactly.
5 years ago. That's
exactly.
why we need Lent.
Absolutely. In fact, the word in the Eastern Fathers for this is theosis or divinization. In other words, we're always in a process of becoming the true and best versions of ourselves. We're continually transforming or transfiguring like Christ on Mount Tabor. You're right, Father. It's never, you know, we have these maybe some peak moments and people do get hit by the Holy Spirit, you know, at God's discretion.
Mm-hmm.
But even for them, I mean, Paul got hit, he got knocked down, but then he went away for years in exile,
yeah.
in penance, in quiet.
It's usually very subtle. In fact, we should not be called human beings. We should be called human becomings.
Right, yeah, that's right.
You know, we'll talk about human beings.
You know, when you mentioned earlier about this not being our permanent home, knowing that we don't belong here. Now, this is not going to be very profound theology, but I was just thinking just the other day, when I heard the news of the earthquake down in New Zealand,
yeah.
I thought, you know, Lord, why do you allow that? Why do you put us on a planet that shakes and trembles and brings our buildings down upon us? And I thought, the only sense I could make of it was, it's just another reminder that this is not our permanent home.
Right.
That we don't completely belong here. As good as human life is, it's not the ultimate life that we're meant to live.
Right, and as St. Paul says, you know, the earth grinds and pines and groans until it's fulfillment. And no matter what human beings do, and you know, we build buildings and we try to do things always better, we can never do it perfectly. There's always that element that reminds us of the fall, the imperfection.
Or the beautiful line in one of the prefaces at a funeral liturgy goes like this: for the believer, when we die, life is changed, not ended. Powerful line. For the believer, when we die, life is changed, not ended. Eternal life with God. We're going to break here on Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio, 950 AM. Our phone number, 312-255-8408. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz, along with Grazia Marcheschi, and our guest, Father Thomas Loya, who have a Lenten mission at Holy Name Cathedral in mid-March. We'll be back right after break, and do not touch that dial.
The annual Catholic Appeal is underway in parishes across the Archdiocese of Chicago. Your gift to the annual appeal helps sustain Catholic schools, religious education, ministerial formation, and initiatives for life, peace, and justice.
And the appeal serves people worldwide whose lives are devastated by natural disasters, illness, and war.
All funds raised are carefully spent to do God's work. Please make a pledge to the 2011 annual Catholic Appeal.
Your generosity will make a difference in the lives of many.
Join the movement to run the 2011 Bank of America Chicago Marathon on Sunday, October 9th as a pledge runner for Team Catholic Charities. As a member of Team Catholic Charities, you'll be running to help our neighbors in need of food, clothing, and shelter, necessities for everyday survival. To join or sponsor the Catholic Charities Marathon team or committee, call 312-655-7912. That's 312-655-7912. Visit us online at catholiccharities.net/Chicago Marathon. We'll see you at the finish line.
You're invited to watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Here's host Graziano Marcheschi.
The faith home of more than 2 million Catholics. During the next half hour, we'll hear about the strategic pastoral plan, a blueprint for evangelization. And we'll talk with Cardinal Francis George about the virtue of love and the key role it plays in the lives of Catholics every day.
For several interesting stories about the Archdiocese, please watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Radio TV for the time and cable channel in your area. That's www.archchicago.org. The Church, the Cardinal, and You. Compelling television about your Archdiocese.
Welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith. It's 9:10 on this Friday morning. Not too blustery of a day. It's the end of the week, and we're delighted that you've chosen to spend this part of your morning with us.
The heavy snow up north, or 3 to 5 inches, never happened. Maybe they were nailed south. They're talking like 48 inches. I have no idea if they got the heavy snow on the south side or central Illinois, but
I always take those predictions with a grain of salt.
Evanston area, we just
no pun intended. Yeah, although I have been salting my sidewalk quite a bit.
We've all been doing that.
We're talking this morning, and I'm very pleased to be talking with Father Thomas Loya, who is going to be giving a mission at Holy Name Cathedral. In addition to that, he does many, many things on the national scene, giving talks on theology of the body and giving missions in many, many places. He's also done a lot of publications. Many of you, I'm sure, are familiar with Father Loya. We're talking with him this morning about the mission he'll be giving, which will be focused on the Lenten season. So, Father Tom, tell us, first of all, why does the Church bring this season round year after year? What is the purpose of this time in our liturgical year experience?
The purpose of this time is several things. First of all, Lent is our return to our biblical roots. And also, it's a time in which we actually are returning to our true selves. And we need a time, a time of purification or of discipline to do that. You see, Lent's not like like this sort of unusual little interruption of discipline that we sort of tough out, and then when it's done, we're happy, and we can go back to living like we used to. Gosh, I did that. Now God will bless me because I did it, God. I ran that race or whatever. I mean, that's a part of it. But Lent really is the return to how we're normally supposed to be living. Mm. We're supposed to be living normally a life that is deeply rooted in the Scriptures, a life that has a strong sense of asceticism, in other words, of fasting, you know, where we die to self, where we cut away the excesses of our lives, and therefore rise to our truer selves, rise to real life, to real holiness. This is the norm. This is how we were meant to be. This is how we were created in the image and likeness of God. It's the way Adam and Eve were before the fall. So Lent really is not an exceptional time in a sense. It's actually the normal time.
You know, along those lines, Father Time, it made me think of this image. We've all walked into a bookstore and we've seen the section, the self-help. You know, how to gain weight, how to lose weight, how to use the computer, how to do this, how to do that. That whole section on mastery. Mm-hmm. And the thought one day hit me is, we spend so much time on mastery, which is okay, but we've lost that sense of mystery.
Yes.
So mastery versus mystery. So it's important to have mastery. Do this, do that, don't do this, don't do that. But we can't lose that sense of mystery, and that's part of the Lenten season.
Oh, absolutely. See, Father, that's such a great point, because that's the whole problem since the beginning. You know, the sort of the gaze of Abney, the original gaze, had that sense of mystery. It was sacramental. You know, they saw all things, especially each other, as connected with God, as revealing God. And that's the only true and quote-unquote normal way to see all of life. And what happens is, through life, and because a lot of things and sin and so on, we see life oftentimes in a progressively less sacramental way, a less mystical way, a way that lacks that mystery. And Lent is a way of drawing us back to seeing things correctly, seeing things as they really are. Even food. That's why we abstain from food. We take food for granted, but no, food is sacramental. Food is something holy. How do you approach something holy? You approach it in a measured way, in a way that's disciplined and boundaried and has a sense of balance, integration to it. But that's how you approach everything. Human relationships, our relationship with the environment, with the workplace, with God. Everything has this approach that has that mystery to it. And mystery means, really, something revealed and something hidden all at the same time. In other words, it's the real way to see things. It's life as it really is, because life truly is mystery.
And the Eastern Church, I think one of their particular charisms is this sense of mystery,
yes,
that is not as strong in the Western Church. It's something that I think the Holy Father is working very hard to try to recapture. But when you lose the sense of mystery, you've really lost a lot.
Yeah, you've lost everything, really. See, the Eastern and Western churches, or lungs of the church, as John Paul II would call, both have their respective geniuses. And those geniuses are their gifts. But any gift also has a sort of an incomplete part to it. You know, so you sort of need the other. You need the complement. You know, the gifts of the Eastern church requires the gifts of the Western church for its completion and vice versa. So yes, you're right. The Eastern church, the particular genius or emphasis there is in this sense of mystery or the mystical, which again is something means what is most real, not what is something that's out there, you know, kind of spooky and for people just with stigmatas or New Agers. No, mystery is the truth about life.
You know, when you think about it, something you both have said is Lent is a time to go back to the basics. I'll give you an example. Mm-hmm. Baseball will be starting. They're down there in the warmer weather right now, doing spring training. What is spring training? It's getting back to the basics. It's honing the skills. Or another classic story, this is from years ago, Vince Lombardi, the late great coach of the Green Bay Packers. The team had lost 3 games in a row. This was like in the late 50s, early 60s. Offense had done poor. They scored like 2 touchdowns in 3 games. Well, Vince Lombardi was so angry, he gathered the offensive team and said, "Gentlemen, we're going back to the basics." Mm-hmm. Held up a football and said, "Gentlemen, this is a football." Max McGee was a comedian in the back room and said, "Coach, slow down, you're going too fast." True story about Vince Lombardi. But really, the Lenten season is an opportunity to get back to the basics, which all of us need all the time in our lives.
So given all of this, what would constitute healthy spiritual practices during this time? I know as a kid, I would give up television, you know, and then, and that's what we most associate with Lent is giving up.
Right.
I gave up my brother one Lent. And television and desserts.
Just don't give up your jokes, whatever you do. You know, I'm sure there still is value to the concept of giving up. But what else?
Well, the giving up is actually so as to make room for other things, really. It's not just in the giving up, but that's part of it. It's like you're saying, Father, Lent has this ascetical athletic discipline. In fact, the spiritual masters used to refer to the spiritual life as a warfare. It's like an athleticism. Even Paul says that. So, yeah, there is a certain value in just giving up, that discipline. But largely it's to make space to gain better things. In other words, to put the real things back in our life. Like, so for instance, you give up some television or something, or time the computer. Why? To replace it with time spent reading the scriptures, or time in Eucharistic adoration, or time communicating with your spouse. or doing things with your family, sitting around reading a good book together, talking together, doing things that you don't normally do but should do more of. So you pull back from these things so as to replace them with other things.
We're going to break here on Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio, 950 AM. The time is 919 in Chicago. Our phone number, 312-255-8408. Father Greg Sackwitz, along with Grazia Marcheschi, and our guest is Father Thomas Loya, who will be doing a Lenten mission coming up in about 2 weeks at Holy Name Cathedral. Stay with us. We'll be back right after a break.
Catholics in Chicago may soon claim a new saint, Father Augustus Toten, the first African-American priest to minister in Chicago. Now you can learn more about this humble man and his life of holiness, perseverance, and service in the face of racism and poverty. A film on the life of Father Toten will be shown on Tuesday, March 1st at 4 p.m. at the Catholic Theological Union in Chicago. The film is part of a week-long celebration of the Augustus Toten Pastoral Ministry Program at CTU, which prepares Black Catholics for professional ministry in Chicago. There is no cost to attend the screening. Go to www.ctu.edu for details. That's www.ctu.edu to learn more about the screening of the film on Father Augustus Toten.
It's time to sign up for Parish Leadership Day, Saturday, February 26th at Maria High School. There will be inspirational talks and 100 workshops in English, Spanish, and Polish. Once again, there will be a lively and entertaining question and answer luncheon visit with Cardinal Francis George.
I invite you to join me at Parish Leadership Day. This will be a time for education, for fellowship, and encouragement. We will pray and learn together, and as always, I look forward to conversing with you, answering your insightful questions during our luncheon session. Above all, I thank you for your generosity in serving Christ in His church.
Parish Leadership Day is a great event for anyone who wants to be more active in their parish. For details, contact your parish or go to www.archchicago.org or call 312-534-8364. That's 312-534-8364. Hope to see you Saturday, February 26th at Parish Leadership Day.
Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio, 950 AM. I'm Graziano Marcheschi, co-hosting with the one and only anchor, Father Greg Sackwitz. It's Friday morning. Thank God it's today, because every day is the Lord's Day.
You know, Tuesday is already March.
My goodness. That's right. Yeah. Short month.
Short month.
Short month.
And then, so I think the worst part of winter is over, but it's still here.
It's not leap year, is it?
No.
No leap year.
No, no.
All right.
But winter's still here.
Talking with Father Thomas Loya, who will be giving a Lenten mission at Holy Name Cathedral on Monday through Wednesday evenings, March 14, 15, and 16. Father Tom, tell us, what will be the themes of each of the three nights?
The theme, the overall theme, of course, is the bright sadness. And each night I'm going to focus on the three things that Lent calls us back to focus on: prayer, fasting, and we'll call it almsgiving, in other words, charity. So we're going to talk about what prayer really is and the very different dimensions of prayer. It's one of the most common questions I'm asked as a priest. People, they have problems praying. They don't really know necessarily what prayer is, or sometimes they are doing it and don't know they're doing it. They don't think that that's prayer.
All right, Father Tom, what is prayer?
Prayer, I would describe it this way. There's many definitions from the saints and the church, but for me, the way I would describe it is prayer is, in a sense, a kind of a spontaneous, so it's not always spontaneous, but in essence, it's a spontaneous response to the revelation or the touch of God. In other words, we respond quite naturally in gratitude. We respond in remorse. We respond in joy. We respond in pleading and begging, usually in response to what God has done. And again, this goes back to that idea of the mystical. It's having that mystical awareness of God, because, you know, we're supposed to become prayer. we're supposed to be praying ceaselessly. And a lot of people will think, oh my goodness, I have to sit down, open up a book and pray all day long in a book. No, we're supposed to become prayer in this mystical sense. So we're going to talk a lot about the different dimensions of prayer, even liturgy, liturgical prayer, what that is, what spousal prayer is, what, of course, formal prayer is, and even a form, in a sense, a certain approach or form of prayer. How do we pray? How do we approach the living God with true prayer? You know, what really is prayer in this sense?
I loved your emphasis earlier on Scripture, because we as Catholics, yes, unfortunately, are not as grounded in the Scripture as we ought to be. But my gosh, the richness that's there, yes, and the prayer that it can provoke is amazing.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's funny that we don't see ourselves as grounded in the Scriptures, but actually, in reality, our church is, you know, our liturgy is. We sort of ooze the Scripture. We sort of, yeah, live them. We immerse ourselves in them. And I think that might even actually be a reason why Catholics don't necessarily pick up the Bible and read it, per se, as much as they should. I mean, Lent calls them back to do that, to rediscover that. You'll make room for that. But I think it might be, on a kind of a positive side reason, it might be because we by nature so immerse ourselves in the Scripture through our liturgical and sacramental life. That's really what it is. You know, we're in the Mass. What are we doing? We're saying the Scriptures. We're immersing ourselves in the events of the Scriptures.
We often don't realize it, but
sure,
that's
we have
exactly what
our
we're
readings
doing
on Sunday, the 3-year cycle, the 2-year,
yes,
cycle during the weekday. And one of the best definitions of prayer I ever heard is, prayer is not so much my getting God's attention, prayer is God's getting my attention.
Yes,
and
exactly.
It always struck me, like, you know, not so much my getting God's attention, but God's getting my attention. It's not only just talking. An important part of prayer is listening.
Right.
And that is so hard, because in any relationship, if one person's always doing the talking,
right,
that's not a relationship. That's a one-way street.
Right.
And prayer is talking and listening.
Talk about fasting.
Fasting. Okay, that's kind of a umbrella category, kind of a keyword for we're going to look at the entire concept of self-denial, of ascetical discipline, and of the passions. And we're going to do that especially as applied to even some of the church's teaching on things. You know, we sometimes think that the church is a big no. It's always saying no to things. Mm-hmm. But actually, it's a yes. It's a no that's actually in the form of a yes, or yes in the form of a no. And it has to do with this whole idea of recognizing what something really is, you know, the mystical value of it, and saying no to any kind of counterfeit approach to that. And this is how we look at even our deepest desires. What are our deepest desires? Where do they come from? Why do we have these longings, which sometimes manifest themselves, unfortunately, in bad choices? You know, where our passions control us, whether it's, you know, anger, sexuality. In other words, the vices or the 7 deadly sins. We're going to look at that. We're going to look at this whole idea of what it means to deny and yet to rise. And what the root and the original quality of our desires are. In other words, our passions. Our passions are ultimately good. You know, it's that rising, your eros is good. It's that striving towards God. But we have to understand what its source is and what its destiny is, and then the necessary disciplines to bring eros to agape.
And what about charity?
Charity, then, with the first two, the whole point of the first two is, of course, our ultimate goal, and that's to turn us into people of love, of greater charity, of what love really is. We're going to look at what are the counterfeit aspects of love, what love really is, how we can apply that in our relationships to everything, in regard to everything, from life itself to our world around us, environment, is most especially in those relationships that matter most, such as in our marriage or even in our religious lives, our priesthood.
Maybe in
Could we paraphrase Paul and say, in the end, three things abide, prayer, fasting, and charity, but the greatest of these is charity?
Exactly. That's what it all leads up to.
That's a good way. We're going to bring this segment to a close. I want to thank in a very special way Father Thomas Loyal, who will be doing a Lenten mission at Holy Name Cathedral Monday through Wednesday evenings, March 14th, 15th, and 16th. And Father Tom, it begins at what time?
It begins at 6:30 with a brief prayer service, and then the talks begin at 7.
And that's Holy Name Cathedral on the corner of State and Chicago. And thank you very much, Father Loyal, for joining us here. Keep up the great work you do, not only in the Archdiocese of Chicago, but around the entire United States. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz, along with Graziano Marcheschi. Our phone number, 312-255-8408. Stay with us. We'll be back right after this break.
Catholic teens and young adults are preparing for World Youth Day 2011 in Madrid, Spain. The Archdiocese is sponsoring an exciting and inspirational 9-day trip for this coming August.
World Youth Day is a week-long spiritual journey during which teens and young adults from around the world unite to share their faith.
The Archdiocese organized trip to Madrid will include daily mass, catechesis, festivals, walking tours, and all the events scheduled with the Holy Father, Pope Benedict XVI.
That includes a welcoming ceremony, an evening candlelight vigil, and the closing mass. And for young people not going to Madrid, there's a wonderful World Youth Day celebration planned at Our Lady of Guadalupe Shrine in Des Plaines.
The regional event will bring together young Catholics from Illinois, Indiana, and Wisconsin. There will even be a giant TV hookup so you can pray along with the Pope during the closing mass in Madrid.
Go to the Archdiocese website, www.archchicago.org, and click on World Youth Day. You'll find information regarding travel to Madrid, our local festivities, and a link to the official World Youth Day website.
Plan now. Be part of this inspirational and memorable celebration of our faith.
World Youth Day 2011.
Catholic Charities West Region invites you to its annual St. Patrick's Day party Thursday, March 10th from 6:30 to 9:30. Enjoy hearty Irish fare and entertainment by the McNulty Dancers, Shannon Rovers, and Tributosaurus Trio at Fitzgerald's in Berwyn. Tickets are $50 in advance or $60 after March 1st. All proceeds benefit Catholic Charities Transitional Housing Program. For tickets or information, call 708-329-4022 or visit catholiccharities.net/stpats.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
And welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio 950 AM. The time is 9:31 on this Friday morning in Chicago. And our phone number, 312-255-8408. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz, along with Graziano Marcheschi. And part two of our program is very interesting. You may want to give
a
call.
This is a great morning here.
It is a great morning.
We've got two of the best priests in this Chicagoland area.
Oh, on
Father
that note, Loya I'd like
before,
to introduce
Father Terry now.
Father Terry Keehan, an outstanding priest of the Archdiocese of Chicago.
I've known him since he was a baby priest.
So have I. And in fact, Father Terry Keehan was pastor at Holy Family in Inverness. I think ex and present outstanding basketball player.
They used to call him Father Whataways.
We were part of the Running Revs priest basketball team.
Yes, we were. Greg still holds the record for most threes in a single game.
Come on, really?
So, yeah.
That was many years ago.
But you tower over him.
But you kept feeding me.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
right
we
open.
Were playing at your place, so we wanted to make sure you looked good at St. Mary of the Woods. And
so he really is a jock.
He is.
I thought he was just pulling my leg all these years.
Oh, no. Father Terry Keehan's a real jock. Played 4 years of basketball at, I think it was Nebraska?
Nebraska at Omaha.
And so great to have Father Terry Keehan and Colin Collette, who is the Director of Music Ministry at Holy Family in Inverness. And the reason they are here is that the officially commissioned life-size replica of the La Pietà will be on display for 3 months at Holy Family Parish in Inverness. Cardinal Francis George participated in the unveiling ceremony and mass this past Wednesday, and with Father Terry Keehan, the pastor of Holy Family Catholic Church community in Inverness, along with Colin Collette, the Director of Worship. Welcome, Colin. Welcome,
thank you.
Terry.
Thank you.
My wife used to be
madly in love with him. She was. When he was newly ordained, he was this tall, striking, dashing, good-looking priest, Father Whataways, you know. And my wife, are we going to see Father Terry? I hope she's not listening, but it's true.
Terry, when you were newly ordained, you were assigned to what parish?
My first assignment was St. Thaddeus, which is at 95th and Harvard, just off the Dan Ryan. And then St. John of the Cross in Western Springs. I lived there while I was working at the vocation office. I was a vocation director.
Because we did a vocation work together.
Yes, we did.
And then we weren't kidding about being part of a priest team called the Runnin' Revs basketball team. Are they still in existence today?
The number one rated all-priest basketball team in the nation. Entire world.
In the world.
In the nation.
I love that name. It's a great name.
And Terry was the point guard. I was the off guard. Yeah. And so tell us about this incredible... 3-month La Pieta at Holy Family in Inverness.
Well, first of all, thank you for your very kind words, and it's great to be with you this morning. And there's a gentleman named Steve Bishop, and Steve has purchased, he has a company called Vescovo Bonarotti. Vescovo is bishop in Italian, and so it's his name. And Michelangelo's family name is mm-hmm. Bonarotti. So that's the name of his company, and they have purchased the rights to one of the molds. There are, I think there were seven, or there's not seven still in existence, but at one point in time there were seven molds of the actual Pieta, and Steve purchased one of them. And it's been kind of his mission and his ministry to recreate the statue. It is a kind of a combination of marble and resin. I'm not exactly sure what it is.
Commonly. It's a marble composite.
It's a proprietary formula. I
exactly.
They won't tell exactly what it's made from.
That's right.
We do know that it weighs 1,100 pounds. Mm. So there's a significant amount of marble. Not as significant as the original carved statue. But I think what Terry mentioned is really important is that it's not a copy in the sense that somebody has carved a copy, but that it's a replica made from a Vatican authorized mold. So the Vatican Museum has authorized for Stephen Bishop to purchase this mold, and it's amazing the detail and of this replica.
So tell us, Colin, how is it that Holy Family Parish is becoming the home of this statue for a 3-month period?
Well, I think it's really interesting that the way it came to us, and it came. Terry can tell you more about the family that there's a Barrington family that saw the mold or saw a replica of the statue, and brought it to my attention through our Marian ministry. We have a very active Marian ministry at Holy Family, and through the Marian ministry, they brought the idea of bringing this to Holy Family. And I right away, I'm a great lover of art all kinds. So I thought, wonderful. And it's a great opportunity for Holy Family. It's an amazing opportunity for the Archdiocese. And I knew that I had the group of people that would work to make this happen. When the owner of this first heard about Holy Family, he sort of went to the website and saw Inverness, Illinois. And which is a little village. And he
7,000 people.
Yeah. And he thought, there is no, what are you thinking? My goal is to have as many people as possible see this and come in contact with it. But then we put him in touch with our website, and he started to learn a little more about Holy Family and the parish and the size of the parish and the number of ministries and parishioners, and he was just like converted.
Yes, he was.
Could hardly
now,
wait.
Now, Colin, where did the replica? What was it stationed before Holy Family from this past Wednesday?
It was at a cathedral
in Utah.
In Utah.
Of the Magdalene.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Now that's interesting. And now I know we're jumping ahead, but after it stays 3 months at Holy Family, where is the Pieta moving after this?
I think there's a process that Stephen kind of fields requests for the statue. And then he chooses it. What he said to us was that there was 132 parishes that made a request to have the statue during Lent, and he chose Holy Family.
132 so nationwide.
Yes.
We're going to go to break here on Catholic Community Faith on Relevant Radio 950 AM. I'm Father Greg Sackowitz, along with Grazia Marcheschi and our guests, Father Terry Keehan and Colin Collette. Our phone number, 312-255-8408. Stay with us. We'll be back right after a break, and do not touch that dial.
I'm Lisa Pelletto, the director of the Catholic Charities Junior Board, and this is the Junior Board Mission Minute, 60 seconds of the latest and greatest updates on events and opportunities for you to get involved. Help us raise dollars for our veterans living at Cook's Manor. A Winter's Night fundraiser will take place on February 23rd. At 5 o'clock p.m., we will meet for drinks at Elephant and Castle on Wabash and then head to Millennium Park for ice skating. Join us at our Faith Committee meeting on March 2nd and help us plan upcoming speakers in the series Faith in the Real World, which premiered in February and will feature one speaker every month until June. The Social Committee also meets in March on the 14th to plan upcoming social fundraising events. Volunteer to spend some time with the senior citizens at Ozanam Village on Sunday, March 6th. Come out for emergency assistance food packing on the first and third Tuesday of the month at 6 p.m. or join us for our Read to Me program that reads to kids in one of our shelters every Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. There's always a way to help your neighbor at Catholic Charities. Consider joining our junior board. For more information on these events and others, call 312-655-7932 or visit catholiccharities.net. And of course, stay tuned for the next Junior Board Mission Minute.
This Lenten season, join millions of Catholics throughout the U.S. in a 30-year tradition within the Catholic Church. Catholic Relief Service's Operation Rice Bowl program. Lent isn't just about giving something up, it's also about doing something positive. Operation Rice Bowl provides a way to embrace traditional themes of Lent through praying with others, fasting, and giving alms while learning about our global community. Celebrate the holy season of Lent by becoming a part of the Operation Rice Bowl community today. Visit www.crs.org to learn more.
Most interment arrangements at the 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries are made through a pre-need plan. Your thoughtful planning today is economically prudent and contributes to peace of mind for you and your loved ones. Catholic Cemeteries counselors are available at your convenience. For more information, call 708-449-6100. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
Welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith. Friday morning, you're listening to the radio voice of the Catholic Archdiocese of Chicago, Graziano Marcheschi, with Father Greg Sakowitz. Just like you to know that the late Holy Father, Pope John Paul II, is on the fast track to sainthood. And one of the major steps in that process is beatification. Now, on May 1st of this year, you can attend the beatification ceremony of Pope John Paul in St. Peter's Square. How can you do that? Well, a wonderful pilgrimage to Rome is being planned that includes the beatification ceremony, sightseeing, and a private mass with Cardinal Francis George. If you want more information, go to the Archdiocesan website at www.archchicago.org and click on Pilgrimage to Rome for all the details. That's www.archchicago.org. Click on Pilgrimage to Rome.
What a great read. You should think about being a broadcaster.
Really?
I think so. You got a great face for it.
Wow. My mother used to tell me that. Yeah.
We are talking with Father Terry Keane and Colin Collette from Holy Family Parish in Inverness. We mentioned that the last Wednesday evening, Cardinal Francis George came for the unveiling of the replica of the Pietà. And Terry, Colin, what was the reaction of, I presume, a near full house and Holy Family Parish, the church, is huge. What was the reaction to people?
What we did, Greg, was the statue is in our narthex. We have a very big narthex, large gathering area. And the statue is towards the back of the narthex, and there's a glass kind of pretty much a glassed area that you look out over our courtyard. And we just filled in the entire narthex. We had the mass in the narthex as opposed to in the church, because that's exactly where the statue is. So we went back and forth on whether we should have the mass in the church or have it in the narthex, so we decided to have it in the narthex. We had a full group, probably about 400 people, and it was a very nice ceremony. The cardinal was very, very gracious. It was a little cramped, but it was a beautiful
ceremony. Now, Colin,
ceremony.
Say something you mentioned off the air about this is an opportunity for people to touch the statue, get close to the statue, because we know that the original, the famous Michelangelo Pietà in Rome, as you walk into St. Peter's Basilica, it's off to the right, way off in the distance, and behind bulletproof glass. which, as you said off the air, it looks so small.
Yeah,
but in reality, it is not.
It's not. I was amazed when I, obviously, when you go to St. Peter's and you're standing in front of the Pietà, you're overwhelmed by its presence. But it does. I thought, wow, I didn't think it would be that small. Because what closest you can get is maybe 40, 50 feet or so. The part of the appeal, to me anyway, of this statue is they want you to come up to it, to be able to touch it, to touch the foot of Christ. One of Mary's hands is extended, sort of reaching out to put your hand in Mary's hand. It's a completely different experience of the art piece.
The first time I saw it was before the glass was there, many years ago. And then the second time I went, the glass was up, and it is a very different experience.
Yeah, Gratz, when you saw it the first time, and I did too back in 93, but I'm trying to remember, how close were we able to get to it before the bulletproof glass and now it's so far away?
I remember being, not more
You didn't
than,
touch it?
No, I didn't touch it, but it was like, a typical side altar in a church where there was the rail in front and the statue was right
and
behind the rail.
And it was huge.
Well, I don't think...
It's overpowered looking.
Yeah. There's a replica of it at Our Lady of Sorrows Basilica here in Chicago.
Oh, really?
Which may actually be a hand-carved sculpture. It may be a copy. Mm-hmm. And I remember seeing it there before I ever saw it in Rome and thinking, oh, my gosh, is that the Pietà? because it's an absolutely perfect reproduction. And there it's permanent, it's always there. But they have it in like a side chapel. If you just go to the basilica itself, you wouldn't necessarily notice it. But one thing I've observed is that the Blessed Mother always draws big crowds. Mm-hmm. When Our Lady of the Millennium statue was going around, many, many people went out to see it. You mentioned earlier, I think it was you, Colin, that you have a very active Marian devotion at your parish.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about that, Terry or Colin.
There's a group that they are obviously very dedicated to Mary, and that's actually part of the story of how the statue came, because there's a woman named Rhea Rossi who works with Steve. Steve Bishop lives in Scottsdale, Arizona, or Phoenix area. And Rhea's sister is in Barrington, and she came to Holy Family for Mass. And we pride ourselves on being a very welcoming community, so we have a whole little ritual at the beginning of Mass where we ask newcomers to stand. And so she really felt very welcomed with that and by that experience. And then she kind of engaged with her sister, who comes to daily Mass at Holy Family and is plugged into part of our Marian ministry. So that's kind of how the conversation began. And then they put us in touch with the fact that, Stephen has this Vescovo Buonarroti company and the statues.
Now I'm putting it together. This man's name is
Bishop.
And Vescovo is Bishop in Italian.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And do you know, here's a little anecdote. Do you know how Buonarroti happened to become carved on the sash of the Virgin Mary in the statue? It wasn't there originally. When Michelangelo sculpted it, it was just there. And then word started going around that somebody else had done the statue.
Oh.
And so Michelangelo was not a man of small ego. And
yeah.
So he stormed into the basilica one day with his hammer and chisel, and he chiseled his name onto the statue.
That's a true story?
It's a true story.
Because it's the only piece that he signed.
Yeah.
There's another really interesting story I don't know if it's true or if it's part of the popular lure about the statue, was that they actually, it was not commissioned per se by the Pope, but it was Michelangelo actually smuggled it into St. Peter's the first time
upon
that it went to
speed.
No, because I think its original home was somewhere else first.
Yes.
But when it came to St. Peter's, he smuggled it into St. Peter's.
Now, these are things I've never heard of. We're going to go to
break.
And
that might just be a
popular lore.
Yeah.
I'm Father Greg Sackwitz, along with Grazia Marcheschi, and our guests, Father Terry Keehan and Colin Collette of Holy Family Parish in Inverness. Our phone number, 312-255-8408. Stay with us. We'll be back right after a break.
Catholic New World has been your faith resource for well over a century. Archbishop Patrick Feehan recognized the need for a strong Catholic voice in 1892 and launched Chicago's first Catholic newspaper. Bishop Feehan named our Catholic newspaper using a theme from the Columbian Exposition, the New World that gave people hope for a brighter future. Today, the Catholic New World is better than ever. It's a rich and diverse resource for Chicagoland Catholics with stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Cardinal Francis George and our team of columnists offer compelling insights on spirituality, catechesis, and evangelization. Visit our website at CatholicNewWorld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and while you're there, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777. Our look has changed, but we are still your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
Each night, thousands of families face homelessness in Chicago. Those families aren't just statistics. They're your neighbors, your friends. They could even be part of your own family.
I had lost my job, so I wasn't working, and I had run out of all my savings, so I ended up losing my apartment. And I went to stay with my sister, but she's got this small little itty-bitty condo, so we were all sleeping on the floor. So I started calling around for the housings and everything, and they told me to call Catholic Charities, and it just happened when I got through, Joanne answered the phone, and she goes, "You know, you got me just at the right time. We're actually doing interviews right now. You want to come in?" And gave me the whole rundown of everything and how the program works and everything. She goes, "Is this something you can do?" And I looked at her and said, "You're offering me a roof over my head, something more than I've got right now. And I'm willing to do anything to keep that roof over my head."
Catholic Charities of Chicago is there to provide a helping hand to the homeless. Find out how to help us help the most needy. Visit CatholicCharities.net.
Driving in your car, sitting in your home, you're listening to Catholic Radio, Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio AM 950. Thank you for spending your time with us today. Graziano Marcheschi and Father Greg Sakowicz talking with Father Terry Keehan, the pastor of Holy Family Parish in Inverness, and Mr. Colin Collette, the director of worship. You recently unveiled a statue that will be wending its way around the country, Michelangelo's Pietà, not the original, but a copy of it. And this was just unveiled this past Wednesday together with Father Cardinal Francis George. Tell us about the reaction of the folks who gathered there. What kind of impact is this statue beginning to make on your parishioners?
Well, when you see the statue, it's such a beautiful piece of art, and it does what classic art does. It really elicits a response in you. I mean, you know, as I was saying when Steve interviewed me, you have pity, you know. Pietà means pity in Italian. You have pity on Mary, you have pity on Jesus, you have pity, you know, it really does evoke a response. But one of the great things that Colin did, and this is consistently what Colin does for our community, there's a woman, one of our parishioners, Wendy Schaefer, whose son, Jeremy, died on Good Friday last year.
Wow.
And at the beginning of the Mass, Colin asked her to give a reflection about that, and she just did a beautiful job, and she talked about Mary being able to relate to Mary and how much the statue was a source of consolation for her at this horrible moment. Jeremy was only 28 years old, I think, when he passed away.
So she gave a story at the start of the Mass last Wednesday.
Yes.
That's powerful. Yeah. That is
incredibly
powerful.
Touching. Especially, I mean, we journeyed with Wendy and Jeremy through. He had a long battle with cancer that settled in his spine, and Mary, Wendy leads at one of our contemplative prayer ministries, and so we journeyed with her on this journey, and then when she heard where the statue was going to be located in the narthex, she came to me to say, "Can it be somewhere that's a little more private, where people can really go and be with it?" And then she told me the story of, you know, Jeremy dying on Good Friday, which it just, and I, my gut reaction was, "Wendy, I don't want to exploit your story, but you have to tell that story when we unveil the statue." And what I find is, even though there's this amazing, like, you know, Jesus's body is lying in Mary's arms, but the statue is about Mary.
Yeah.
There's something, I mean, like, he intentionally carved her as a young woman, and she wouldn't have been that young in that moment. But it's obviously a statue about Mary, And the connection that so many people have, especially, you know, mothers who have who've known that type of grief.
In the first half of the program, we interviewed Father Tom Loya, and he spoke about bright sadness.
Mm. Of Lent.
And it really sounds like, what the statue is depicting, mm-hmm. the bright sadness of that moment, but also the story of this parishioner seems to also really express that concept.
Mm-hmm. And there is something, you know, Michelangelo intentionally carved, well, you see both of Mary's hands. One is she's holding the back of Jesus. You just see her fingers kind of like digging into his flesh almost. And the other hand is extended. And it's amazing how that, when you're that close to it, how that extended hand invites you into her sorrow. And it's almost like she's saying, you know, come on in. To be part of it. And I'll hold your grief and pain just the way I
And see, I think the
son.
Reason people relate to the statue is because for all of us, we've experienced sorrow and pain mm-hmm. and tragedy. Mm-hmm. And knowing that, we're not alone. And I've had people say they've seen the statue in Rome, in St. Peter's Basilica, 8, 9, 10 times. Even though it's now at a distance, they've said, every time I view it, I pick up something different.
Yeah.
So every mm-hmm. time you both will walk into the narthex of Holy Family Parish in Inverness, you will see it differently because it's such a powerful, powerful statue that you'll never look at it the same way twice.
Yeah.
Colin, I think you just stated beautifully the key to Marian devotion mm-hmm. when you said she invites us to take our pain and sorrow and hold it the way she held her son's.
Yes.
I think that's why people are drawn to Mary.
I think so, too.
She's a mother.
Yes.
And that's what mothers do.
Yeah.
It's so interesting your comment about that, Colin. We didn't talk specifically about that, you know, her hands, but that was the thing that I noticed particularly on Wednesday night as I was kind of praying with the statue. And my take on it was she's cradling Jesus with the one hand, and she's actually offering Jesus's sorrow and death to us as an invitation to enter into the Paschal mystery. That was my take on it. So it's interesting what an open hand can do. You know, it can be both a drawing in and a giving away.
Yeah,
and
but
so
it's also what, again, interesting, that's what Terry, art does. Is, and we know this, if you look at our own hands, that the sense of the hand being open, see, a closed, clenched fist can neither give nor receive.
Exactly. Right.
And so I always tell people, we come to the Lord, we come to life with open hands. Because we walk around with closed, clenched fists, we cannot give and we cannot receive. And so that one hand of Mary open, that's symbolic. It was also, as you mentioned, Terry or Colin off the air, that Michelangelo did this at the age of 29, mm-hmm. Took over 1 year, and this was done, I think you said, 1498. So, I mean, he was a young man. He lived, of course, 3 weeks short of 90, Colin, mm-hmm, you said earlier.
Exactly.
And in the peak of his life, the early years, and he had the vision. I mean, it's an incredible masterpiece. Now, if people wanted to come and see the statue, is the narthex open during the day?
Yes.
And give a location, Colin, where you're at.
We're at 2515 West Palatine Road in Inverness, Illinois. We kind of sit right in between Inverness and Hotham Estates. If you're coming up from the city, we're just straight shot down down the Kennedy.
90.
And exit at Roselle Road over towards
now,
us.
Now take Roselle Road north to Palatine Road.
Make a left. Straight west on
and
Palatine.
And about 2 miles down. Mm-hmm. And it's
between Ela and Barrington Road.
Okay. And now, if people have another question, like a phone number to call?
847
general number?
359-0042.
The number once again.
847-359-0042.
And what about a web?
holyfamilyparish.org.
I want to thank in a very special way our guest, Father Terry Keehan, pastor of Holy Family Catholic Community in Inverness, and a great pastor and friend, priest of the Archdiocese of Chicago, and also with us, Colin Collette, the director of worship, music at Holy Family Catholic Community. Colin, Terry, thank you for joining us, and our prayers are with you.
And ours with you.
And Holy Family is an outstanding parish. Thank you also to co-host Graziano Marcheschi. Great job again, Graz, to our producer, Wonderful work with Jim Dish. Excellent job of our engineer, Michael May. And to our listeners, God bless all of you and have a blessed weekend.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day and God bless you.